on the
That's right.
map,
That's
Wisconsin.
Right. To the other.
To the other in Michigan. Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you, Sally. Thanks so much. Yeah, so good morning. Good morning. It's great to be with you, and not much happening today.
No.
So it's great. Jay's handing out hot off the press for all of you. And let me just say what Stephanie was saying, that, you know, we don't get a farm bill done unless it's bipartisan, period. I've been involved in 6 farm bills. This is the 3rd one I've led in the Senate, and I know how to get bills done, and I know that you do that by keeping the broad farm bill coalition together, and that means commodities and conservationists and foresters and, you know, environmentalists and nutrition folks and local governments and bioenergy. And I mean, it's all of it. It's all of it. And so what we're doing today is putting out not a framework, a bill. This is a bill, section by section. We didn't print out the entire legal section by section. It's 90-some pages, and we didn't want to cut down more trees today. So it's on the website. You have the link. So what you have is our overall summary and then a message description. And this is already long enough, but I just want you to know that we're serious. I'm serious. My members are serious. You know that we're stuck right now on some negotiations. I hope this helps free that, because our farmers need the certainty of a 5-year farm bill. I think rural communities need that as well. So we're doing this within the context of 3 major goals: keeping farmers farming, keeping families fed, and keeping rural communities strong. And that's the framework that we are using. I have included over 100 bipartisan marker bills. You just had Senator Hoeven leaving, and I said, John, he's got a lot of bills in this, that bipartisan bills that he has done with colleagues. So you get a farm bill done by building a coalition and making it bipartisan, and also listening to others as well. So I literally, you know, I'm not going to go through everything, because literally we wouldn't have time to go through every piece of this. But I will say that in the farm category, we strengthen crop insurance in a number of different ways. Important for small farmers, for specialty crops, as well as large farmers. And it's the area that Senator Hoeven and I have talked a lot about. I want to make sure we've got our small and medium-sized farmers, you know, being able to have access, as well as our large farmers. The commodity title, we know crop insurance affects over 136 crops. The commodity title, ARC and PLC, 22 crops. Very important, though. What we have done is been able to draft and fund this bill to have a minimum of a 5% reference price increase for each of the commodities. Some actually, because of the accelerator in the current law, will have a 10 to 15% increase. So there's a reference price increase. There's crop insurance. We are not changing or creating any new choices for anybody in crop insurance. There are already choices people have, but we're not going to go in that direction in terms of limiting any choices that people have on crop insurance. We strengthen small and medium-sized dairies. We do some things to strengthen the sugar program. In order to deal with input costs, we also allow the marketing loan caps to go up to be able to deal with costs for folks. And we address a number of different things that relate to really the farm part of the farm safety net. On the family side of the safety net, I'm happy to answer questions on all this, but on the family side, we keep money within the nutrition title. We find some efficiencies that allow us to do some things. This is what we always do in nutrition. We find some ways to create some efficiencies and then keep it in nutrition. So increasing food banks, increasing money for fresh fruits and vegetables, you know, doing a number of things that are important for the nutrition community. And then in conservation, we take all this amazing investment that we got in conservation money in the IRA. We move it into the baseline. We keep the language about climate, which is totally fine because 49 of the top 50 conservation programs that everybody uses meet that criteria, 49 out of 50. So we move it all in the baseline and create conservation money going forward beyond this 10 years, which is a real win, as well as doing a lot of streamlining on paperwork. A lot of the conservation programs we have worked on, this is something Senator Bozeman and I have both pushed hard on because it's just too much darn paperwork, and we're trying to get the bureaucracy to reduce what it takes for people. And then finally, on rural development, the rural development title is usually a title of authorizations on various programs. We actually put some mandatory money in there. By the way, we increase research money for the foundation, research foundation, as well as other areas of research, bioenergy, biofuels, biomanufacturing. We do more in that, which is jobs in rural development. And we do. It's nice. Thank you so much. We appreciate that. So thank you. Thank you.
NASB would glad to be make time for you.
I know, I didn't ask what state they're from. I don't know. Well, you know what? I've talked long enough. I'd love to answer your question. But let me just say, we're doing a number of things. Whoops, in rural development. Did I do something here? Bottom line, this is the kind of bill that can pass in a bipartisan way. Oh, and the final thing I should tell you is that while we're not taking dollars from nutrition to put it in another spot, what we've been able to do, and truly, I have staff that are very seasoned about how to put things together in a farm bill. We have been able to take what is a very solid commitment from Leader Schumer in the Senate to add $5 billion to the farm bill safety net, and that is allowing us to be able to do additional things. And this is real and something that would be supported on a bipartisan basis and would allow us to do a number of things, whether it's crop insurance, reference prices, research, to be able to get things done. So this is a bill that can get done, that has many, many bipartisan provisions in it. And I'm hopeful it's going to be the basis for the next step for us in negotiating a final bill.
Chairwoman, Mr. Schumer gave a list, as I understand it, 17 priorities.
Yes. Yes. Well, number one, I mean, that was, I think at the time, I was being very cautious about him speaking out on this until I knew kind of what our path was. He spoke today on the floor. He's going to speak about supporting this and about getting, there's no doubt in my mind that we get a bipartisan, and it has to be bipartisan. I mean, I am not going to a markup on a bill that does not have the necessary bipartisan vote. So this is meant to basically say, okay, this is a bill, you know, you want to offer amendments, changes, whatever, let's negotiate that. But it's got to be bipartisan. We have to have 60 votes in the Senate. So that's what we're waiting for. In terms of the dollars, and I'll put my finance committee hat on, so as number two on finance, there are a number of what we call pay-fors that are within the finance jurisdiction every year to do different things. And so I can't tell you the specific at this point, but there are, we've identified, you know, options within the finance committee that are routinely used for pay-fors. So, and you know, as an example, the wool and cotton trust fund, which is in the farm bills, is actually the amount that is needed to pay for that traditionally has come out of a finance committee pay for. So it's about $100 million or something, but it comes there. So we have commitments, you know, to have this paid for, and I don't want to get into the specific on what it is. No, not CCC. Although I will tell you that one of the options, and the secretary keeps talking about it, and I met with him yesterday again, he is more than willing to work with us on crafting something in the CCC to help fill the gaps in terms of what people are concerned about. He's already done it with the trade money. I mean, Senator Bozeman and I went to him. All the commodity groups said top two priorities, crop insurance and doubling the amount of trade marketing money. We knew we didn't have the capacity to double the trade marketing money. And so we asked him to take $1.3 billion out of the CCC, where he can do that. That's within the scope of the CCC, which he did. And now he's, so, and that was enough to double the money. So we met the doubling of the money through CCC. And so it's very possible. I've thrown this out as an option to folks. You know, you lose bipartisan support if you take nutrition money, but you go over here and CCC and it's bipartisan. So my message is just look at where you get votes and where you lose votes. And I can tell you, in a farm bill, you want to be gaining votes, not losing votes. And that's my concern about the direction right now in the House. So hopefully we can come together. This is about gaining votes. Yes, sir. Well, in dairy, we are focusing on smaller farms. We'll have that specific language for you, but there were three areas that relate to improving items for discounts and for, what, updating their base, I think, and there was another one. That is three things that go to tier one, basically, small farms. As a place to start. That's where we've mainly heard. The dairy margin program seems to have worked really well. The biggest concerns we've heard about from smaller farms. So we do that. We also update some things for sugar around loan rates and so on. Yes. How are you? Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, it's important. One of the challenges we've had, and this, you know, I've been working on specialty crops since I was in this building as a House member. My very first farm bill was here. and I was offering, you know, specialty crops were not in the farm bill. There weren't 12 titles. There were 11. And by the way, trying to add one was like I had to give up my firstborn to get that done. Actually, it was really hard, but we now have 12. But so specialty crops are not one crop. It's not like a crop insurance policy for corn or wheat or soybeans. You've got blueberries and cherries and, you know, other all these things where it involves smaller crops. It involves assessing risk differently and so on. And they've had mixed review on being able to get insurance policies. And so some have gone well. Cherries have been doing well. Apples in general do well. But other smaller crops have not. So they want more input into designing and what they need, what the different crops need. So that is one of the reasons that they need to have a little bit more input in what's happening.
So just a quick follow-up. Essentially, if I'm understanding you correctly, you're
going to see
the table.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, RMA, the Risk Management Agency, oversees crop insurance. And so it gives them input there because it's just complicated. We've had mixed results. And sometimes the crop is a small crop and the insurance companies don't want to write the policy. And so then we have to, you know, we want them to be involved in figuring this out. Yeah. Oh, good.
So I cover a lot of specialty crops. And another issue that they have, in addition with just crop insurance being available, are different income requirements and
yes.
Supporting requirements.
Yes.
Yes,
we are what is considered high value crops around specialty crops and so on. We are in fact raising the AGI for specialty crops, and also we're strengthening what's called NAP. If you don't have crop insurance, you get NAP, non crop insurance. What is it? Assistance. I can't remember what NAP stands for, but we're strengthening that also because I think you can, like if you have, you lose your trees, your orchard or whatever, I think you can get 65% reimbursement. We're upping that to 75%. We're doing a number of things that address the issues that the special crop folks have brought to us. And we can get you more specifics. Jay can get you. Yeah. Yes. Oh.
You lost. Did you have a question?
Did you have a question?
Yeah.
You mean rather than every 5 years?
Well,
no. That's always,
that's
really scary, the idea of going back to the, Depression era times. We aren't specifically talking about the whole farm bill. Interestingly, the conservation title has never been permanently authorized, which I didn't realize. We have that in here. So there are various pieces that are permanently authorized, and we'd have to take a look at what that, what that looked like. Because you're right, it's a risk every time. Yeah.
Senator, at one time, I don't know if your ears were burning. I've been asking questions about you.
Uh-oh.
At one time, you talked about expanding the stacks program.
Yeah.
For other crops, but that would exclude participation in ARC and PLC. Senator Hogan has another idea.
He does. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you asking that. We decided not to. I mean, at the time I proposed it, I thought, well, this is an idea, one choice that's good enough for cotton. Maybe we ought to do it for others. There was a lot of confusion around it. Unfortunately, it got reported that we were saying you can't get crop insurance if you have ARC or PLC, which we never said. And I kept saying, and I got tired of saying it. And so we just frankly didn't. We are not using that. Stacks is there for cotton, but we are not broadening that. Now, if folks want us to, I'm happy to do that, but it was interpreted as somehow limiting instead of being one more choice. And so I'm not interested in limiting people to choose between crop insurance and ARC and PLC. It just happens this one program, which has a higher, you know, 80% federal subsidy that cotton gets, that's how it was designed. So at this point, we don't include that. And we're looking at, there's the area-based plan. Senator Hoeven has something. Senator Hoeven has a proposal that honestly is really good for very large farms, not good for smaller farms and medium-sized farms. And so I've told him that we should sit down and look at this because in general, I mean, he designs it just in a way that doesn't help a beginning farmer or a small farmer and so on. So I'd like for us to figure out a way to come together on that. And yeah, I think we can. Yes. We do not. I don't think. You know what? I should have my dairy person, Kyle, talk to you. I should have him talk to you because I'm not sure. But that is not in the. I don't think that's in the proposal. Mandatory. I don't think so. Well, that's the milk marketing order, though, right? And so we're waiting for the USDA. Okay. We're waiting for USDA to complete their process and make recommendations. I know the commodity groups have, you know, strong feelings, want to go back to certain language and so on, which I'm very open to. But at the moment, we were sort of just putting this over here to see what USDA was going to recommend. But if that's certainly something, you know, we didn't leave it out just because we didn't support it. It was just that it was part of a process that's going on right now. So, but so certainly open.
So it's early in the game. It could actually come in later.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Nobody's saying no. We're just saying it's not quite cooked yet. So, yeah. Yes. Well, first of all, within the nutrition title, we're doing what we've traditionally done, where you find efficiencies or, you know, do certain things that just save some dollars that allow you to then reallocate. So that's within nutrition and administrative kinds of efficiencies. The rest that we're proposing is part of the $5 billion commitment that Leader Schumer has made to us to put additional money into the Farm Bill baseline. So that's what we're gonna. Now, what's interesting, let me just say one caveat, and this goes with, like, really understanding how the Farm Bill works and in terms of all the complexity. 2018, we put into the Farm Bill for PLC, for the commodity program, an accelerator. So you'd look at average 3-year price, you know, look at the market, what was happening on prices, and you could get an increase in the reference price based on this accelerator. Okay. If you look at, CBO tells us, the next 5 years of the Farm Bill, that accelerator is kicking in. And so for the vast majority of crops that are covered under PLC, they're going to get 10 to 15% increase just from what we're already doing. We don't have to pay for that. We have to pay for that. It's built in to 2018 policy, 10 to 15% increase. Now, there are three predominant crops that are not going to be impacted by that: cotton, rice, and peanuts. So I've said, okay, now, it's because they have higher reference prices already, but okay, we want to give everybody a reference price increase. So we're using our dollars to put in a second escalator that will guarantee at least a 5% increase. So everybody's going to get a 5%. So for the folks where what we do in farm policy right now, if it doesn't kick in for them, if they're not going to get an increase in reference prices, we're going to fill that hole by giving them a reference price increase. That's how we should be looking at these things, not duplicating. If something's going to happen already anyway, why would we take precious resources to do it again? You know, we should be letting the Farm Bill work, and where there are gaps, we should be using our dollars to fill the gaps. And so that's what we're doing. That's how we can spread $5 billion farther, because we're not reinventing the wheel when it comes to the price loss program. So does that make any sense?
Yeah, just a quick
follow-up. Sure. One area, and I'd have to have my staff talk with you about it, because there's just one area around transparency and accountability that we found that I have a very smart staff, and they know how to find things. So. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. We are. And as I said, we know how. I mean, we've always in the past, and I have to say, we've never added money to the baseline of a Farm Bill before. This is all new. In 2014, the leadership wanted us to take $23 billion out of the baseline. So it's normally we operate with what we have. So we are always looking for efficiencies. How do you save money? How do you cut the paperwork? How do you do this? And then plow it back into, magic. But so in this case, we are bringing some additional resources to help us do that.
Senator Stabenow, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I think I'm getting pulled. Thank you.
Thank you.